of the Power of Us podcasts are not licensed therapists, medical professionals, legal advisors, or certified experts. The views and opinions expressed by the host are based on personal experiences and are intended solely for informational, inspirational, and educational purposes.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Power of Us. My name is JJ Holly.
And I'm Monica Dania.
And in this show, we try to feature organizations and entities in the Montgomery County area that help people, that just provide services, and so that we can spread the word on what they do. And today, it is our distinct honor to welcome Mr. Mike Fortner with Sleep and Heavenly Peace. Welcome, Mike.
Welcome. Thank you, JJ. Thank you, Monica.
Yeah, thanks for being here today.
Appreciate y'all having me.
So tell us a bit about your background and how you got into this charity.
Yes, I have no background in construction or anything like that. I am an insurance agent professionally, but I read an article a few years ago about kids who didn't have beds and this organization that was started. And so immediately it just struck a chord with me in my heart about this is something I need to do. I volunteered with another chapter locally in Houston. Actually met my co-president, Will Warren, there. Mm-hmm. You probably know Will. And yeah. So we met and agreed we needed to bring it here to Montgomery County. And then COVID slowed us down by a couple of years, but then we started in 2021, trained and started our chapter.
So tell us a little bit about, or tell us a lot about Sleep and Heavenly Peace and what you guys do for the community.
Yeah, so we build and deliver beds to children who don't have a bed of their own. So our only requirement is that they live in Montgomery County, which we break that rule all the time, but they are between 3 and 17 and not have their own bed. So we don't ask about background, income, nothing. It's just that. We'll bring them the bed, the mattress, the bedding, the pillow. That bed is ready to sleep in when we leave. And so far, we all volunteers, us included, we've been able to deliver over 3,200 beds to kids right here in Montgomery County just over 4 years now. So we'll gather our volunteers. We have a build day typically every month. We did it Saturday. We built 75 beds with about 100 people. And it's an assembly line. So we'll take raw lumber. We'll go to cut it, mark it, drill it, sand it, assemble it, stain it, brand it. We get to burn a logo in there, which is the cool part. And then and then we store all that in our mostly donated warehouse from Texas Annual Conference of the Methodist Church, their mission center out in Conroe. And then store it there. We will deliver next Saturday, and we have 74 beds on the schedule. That's about normal for us. And it will go out all over the county, just volunteers in their own vehicles. These beds are in pieces. So you can load a headboard and the rails and the slats and the mattresses and a box and all these things and take it out there. The cool part, besides the fact that you're giving a child a bed, is that we can match that bed to that child. So we're asking, what's your favorite color? What do you have? Superhero? You like princesses?
Oh, that's all those wonderful. Sorts of
things. Get another group of volunteers together. So we'll do that Thursday night and we'll match all that up. So they'll have a list of, you know, a 4-year-old boy likes Superman. And if we have any Superman, we can bag that up with there. You know, a 17-year-old girl likes black. We have a moody teenager on our hand. But you can get all that together and you can, and then that bed is really their bed.
Yeah, it's highly personalized.
Exactly.
Which is nice.
It's wonderful. And it's moms and their children who generally do that part. They're better at it than I am. Green is not always green when you're looking at that. So they'll put that together, but that's part of the beauty of it. When you're going out, that's their bed. When you're, you know, and a bed is more than just a bed. A bed is self-esteem. Mm-hmm. A bed is self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Something they can take ownership of and make it their own.
Exactly. So yeah,
this is the first time, and in a lot of cases, that some of these kids have beds, period.
Right.
They've just been sleeping on the floor.
They're in horrible conditions a lot of times, and not that the parents aren't doing a good job. It's just a matter of what they can afford. So we've found kids on the floor, couches, sleeping with siblings, parents. I think Milk Crates was the one that really struck a chord with us, where kid was sleeping on Milk Crates just to be off the floor. But this is their bed. It's always a twin size bed. Everything's new to them. You've got a new mattress, new bedding. You've got a new pillow. You know, there's nothing used about any of it. And they can take that bed with them if they move. I mean, it's, you know, certainly portable, but it's a sturdy, strong bed they can have of their own.
Tell us about the process of how someone would find you. How would they find that you guys exist and you're a resource for them?
Yeah, so sometimes it's word of mouth, which is neat. You'll deliver one and then you'll get a request for one across the street. You'll get that. They put that request in on our website. And so all the forms are electronic. We can fill that out. They can just say who they are, what they age, the gender of the child, all those sorts of things. But, you know, it's word of mouth. It's Facebook is a big source for us. We do a lot of, in community groups, we'll put it, does your child need a bed? That always gets us some requests out there. And sometimes it's other social media. I'm not very good at social media, but we have an Instagram account as well. And so you're just trying to spread the word and get it out there. And then there's some national media that's picked us up, which is helpful. But it's really just letting them know that we're here. We've done a pretty good job in Conroe. We did deliver in the Woodlands as well. And sometimes we don't think we need that here, but right. We definitely need that here. Mm-hmm. But Porter and Splendora and Magnolia, although we're hitting those, we're not in there as much as we should be. We're trying to spread the word and let people know. You know, nationally, the estimate is 3% of kids don't have their own bed. And 3%. I would say that's
a huge number.
It is. Yeah. And I'm ashamed to say I didn't even know that was an issue before I read about it. But, you know, that is pretty accurate depending on where you go. In some places, it's much higher. And so we're out there just trying to solve that issue.
And thank you for the stats, because that's what the power of us is about. It's about spreading the word and letting people understand and realize the facts and what's truly going on and how we can bring the resources to the people that need it.
Absolutely.
So do you have partnerships like churches that you kind of work with? They bring you people that may need, how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we will do a monthly delivery day where if you put in a general request, we're delivering to you on that day if you're available. It's always a Saturday morning because we're all volunteers. So so that's where that 74 beds come from. But and anybody can request there. So whether that came from a church or anything else.
Okay.
But we will prioritize requests from child advocates, from La Casa, CPS.
Oh, good to know.
Because in those cases, you know, when you're in a CPS case, the kid has to have a bed in order to stay in the home. And so we will get out there generally within a day or two to get that done. And we'll just call on our core volunteers to go do that. When the school district calls, we do some work with CISD as well. So when a counselor finds out, we'll go out as soon as we can. We're trying to prioritize those. But yeah, anybody can lead that way. So the Care Portal is a network of churches and nonprofits, and they'll send us requests. But if it's not priority, and they're all important, but if it's not a priority, generally once a month we're trying to get out there and deliver with about 75 volunteers at a time. And to do that.
How does someone volunteer? How do they find out how to, when and where all that happens?
Yeah, so our website generally has all the info at shpbeds.org, which is hard to say, but sleepinheavenlypeacebeds.org. Mm-hmm. And then there's a volunteer section there, so they can see all our events. You do have to be careful of which chapter you're signing up for, because they're all listed there, and it's easy to say, I want to go, but that's in Houston, not here. And so
it's like in Montgomery County in Pennsylvania or somewhere, you know.
Yes.
That would be quite the commute to volunteer on Saturday morning.
Those guys are in Ohio.
Yeah.
My friend Adam up there, he has the Montgomery County chapter. So we were at our national convention. We had a group shot of all the Montgomery County chapters. Yeah. It's neat. But you got to be careful where. But we'll list them all out. So everything that's available, they can go and sign up. They create a little profile. They can sign up repeated times. They can sign up for our fancy setup shift for our build days at 5:30 in the morning, where all the cool kids come out. But
that's 5:30 on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's a great time.
Just wanted to confirm.
I'll see you next time.
Yes.
Time.
Yeah. If I'm not there, y'all go ahead and get started.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. But the nice thing is, we don't hurt for volunteers. It's
wonderful.
It's really nice to see the community. You know, it's so supportive here, but they just need to know about it. So we have, we rescheduled actually from the 14th because of rain chances and did it on the 21st. So with a week's notice, we still had 100 plus volunteers out there.
Wow.
And normally we would take 150, but even with 100, we were able to build 75.
Is this something where you could bring your kids with you too to help out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we don't have any age restrictions. Oh. I have had babies in a papoose out there.
Wow.
But we have something for everyone. So even though your child may not want to run a sander or a drill, and you may not be comfortable with that, and some adults aren't comfortable with that, right? But we have washers can go on bolts. That's one activity, and it's important to us because you need that for delivery. Mm-hmm. Or my wonderful stepdaughter had an idea of decorating pillowcases.
Oh.
So we buy super inexpensive pillowcases, but when a kid either is tired of sanding or is just not of that age, can come in and use a fabric marker and decorate that pillowcase. And so it's individualized to go to that child. So you can say, another child made this for you. It's not a soft pillowcase, but it's a pillowcase. And so we add that in as something extra. And then they know that somebody cared enough to do that. But the magic of that is when a family has a young child and an older child, or the parents want to come, they can still bring that young child and there's something safe for them to do. It's inside. They don't have to work with a power tool, and they can get that done. Or there are a lot of adults who come in there and do that as well at the end of the time. But we've had kids with sensory issues come out. There are 6 generators, 60 sanders, 5 saws.
Yeah. A lot of noise, a lot of banging.
30-something drills running at the same time. Mm-hmm. So they've come in and made it, and they get an opportunity to do something. Mm-hmm. So I really want the whole family to be able to come out there. I don't want them to feel limited. There are a ton of wonderful charities, and you're featuring them all here, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's just not safe for the younger child to come out. So if we can provide that and the whole family can come out, that's amazing.
Well, we have a couple of teenagers that may be able to.
That 5:30 shift.
We're volunteering.
Yeah. But no, when we do a delivery day, you know, we start at 8 and we go generally to 12. They're going out. When you're done, you're done. You don't have to come back. But you may go to somewhere in Porter or Conroe. Right. And I think I've always brought my teenagers when I could. And just showing them that not everybody has what you have.
Absolutely.
You know, I would say that my family's very blessed.
Right.
But letting them understand that, you know, not every kid has a PlayStation and an Xbox and a fancy iPhone and all these things. And
sometimes it's nice to see how other people are struggling and be, you know, you can appreciate your situation.
Exactly.
And they really would not understand it until they get to see it for themselves.
Right.
And when they're in the thick of it.
Right.
Yes.
And they're helping.
And they're helping.
Yeah. They're not just sitting back observing. They're in making things happen. And
yeah. And, you know, I can say it's really powerful to know that all my kids can make a bed on their own, including the sheets, but they can put one together.
Right.
And so, you know, teaching them that skill and teaching them that other people need help, and that they can go out and do something about it. That's important.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
What kind of backlog are you, Adam? And how many requests for the beds do you have right now?
You know, right now, our only real backlog is that there are a lot of people we can't reach. Numbers change and emails change. And so we're pretty well caught up at the moment. But I'm glad you asked that question, because Although some new chapters have started around us, mm-hmm. we are going to expand up to New Waverly and take on that zip code because mm-hmm. there's a ton of need there. And so that'll open up and I think add to our somewhat of a backlog, but we can mm-hmm. we can help some more people that way. And New Waverly's close. I mean, it's right there. So the Huntsville chapter just started. Madisonville chapter has started, I think a year and a half ago. You know, and they're making a huge difference in their communities as well. But we want to do more. So spreading that word to those areas of the county we're not getting to, taking on New Waverly to add some more. We're big enough now, we can do that.
So what is the turnaround time if someone reached out to you and said they needed a bed on a Monday? What's the turnaround time? How long can you get it to them?
If they were to call me today, it would be a month, unless it were an urgent situation, because we'd deliver again in July. Because our delivery day is Saturday. It's too late to add anything to that list at this point. But, you know, if it were a urgent case, we could get out there within a couple days. So we've done plenty of those on CPS cases and child advocate cases. So they know they can call us.
I do realize every story is a success story when you're delivering a bed to a child in need. Can you share with us a story that may have touched you in a way?
Yeah, if I weren't super tough, I might cry over there. So thank you for
bringing that up.
Yeah. I think the ones that made the most difference for me, and I'll quickly name three of them, is my very first one. I was with another chapter, and we delivered 6 beds to one house. And this little 7-year-old girl climbed in her unicorn bed, and she had a unicorn stuffed animal. Mm. But her sheets and the bedding was all unicorns, and the look on her face just sold it for me. That was it. That was when I said, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. And then I was delivering to a 5-year-old, and I was leading the team that day, which I don't get to do much anymore because I'm mm-hmm. kind of in the warehouse running everything, but... we finished, we had it all put together, and the little boy comes in and he looks at it. He didn't say thank you right away. He didn't say wow right away. He just looks up at me and says, can I keep it? So I waited to get to the truck before I cried on that one. But that, and then Will had a 7-year-old, and Will is bilingual. And so,
I didn't even know that about Will.
Yeah, he's full of surprises. Yeah. But he's delivering to this little 7-year-old boy. And it was weird because sometimes we get there and the family's not there. So they've been called into work or something's happened. And so he actually was just on a street. And I think he randomly knocked on a door and said, does anybody need a bed? And this is Will. Like, he's not afraid of anything. And in Spanish. And he delivered to this little 7-year-old boy. And in Spanish, which I can't do despite my Duolingo record, I can't manage what Will can do. But he looked up and he said, is this my bed forever? Mm. And, you know, things happen and kids move. And, you know, we've all been through changes. We know that this is, but you're giving them some permanency mm-hmm. with a place to sleep, a warm place to sleep where it's everything's new and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And
it's clean.
Right.
Yeah.
And so those are really the ones that stick in my head, but they're all, like you said, they're all powerful. Mm-hmm. Pictures really tell the story. And so when we get the delivery photos, and we'll post those on our Facebook page, and, you know, it's all worth it at that point, all the hours and the time.
Yeah. All the 4 a.m. wake-up calls.
Have you ever had someone come back to you that you made a bed for to say, hey, I'd like to help you make a bed?
Twice now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, after 4 years, you're kind of getting to that point. But one of our regular volunteers who does our bedding prep, because of their schedule, that's what they can do. And they brought their nephew and said, you know, his family got beds a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. So he came back to help. And then the other one, similar, We had a couple of volunteers on Saturday, mom and daughter, and they were just dynamic. They were doing everything and whatever I asked and didn't ask, like they were jumping on it. And I didn't know this. My wife told me later because she's really the PR person. I'm more the angry, get it done person. And so she's out there and she said, that little girl needs a bed. Her birthday is in 9 days. Oh, wow. And she said, well, let's do it now. Like we will get it. And she said, we don't have a place yet.
Wow.
But we're working on it. We do. We'll get with you.
Yeah, when you're struggling, there are so many different layers of needs that you need a roof, you need food, you need furniture, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And I think we all think about food and shelter, mm-hmm. right? That's the first things that come to mind. And like I said before, I never thought about a bed. Mm-hmm. As a parent, I would never think about my kids going without a bed. But but it's out there and it's all over the place. So a ton of them.
So you mentioned you have some sponsors that help out with supplies and...
Yeah, so Lowe's is our national sponsor. And then we get other lumber from Saturday. Home Depot was our sponsor for lumber. They brought us lumber, which is great. McCoy's in Montgomery has been a huge help to us mm-hmm. over the years with donations and that sort of thing. And then, you know, really, the community, like I said, is so giving, as you all know, but... you know, Entergy, HP, Walmart.
Wonderful.
They've all been able to help. And I will say that, you know, most of it really comes from just individuals. Mm-hmm. You look at our, you know, we get a report every week of what's come in and you get the big chunks from the companies, but I can say most of the money is really just people who want to help.
So how would one reach out to make a donation?
So everything really conveniently is on that website at shpbeds.org. It can be tied to our chapter. Locally, if you would rather give by check, send that to us and we just mark it for our chapter so it stays with us. 90% of the money donated is at work right here. The other 10% pays for our insurance, our accounting, those sorts of things that National will take care of. But that's a great number. I mean, we're happy to have that. Our insurance, everything is paid out of that 10%. So, you know, and an in-kind donation, like when somebody donates a pallet of lumber, for instance, or, you know, we use things like vinegar and steel wool to make our stain. We have all those sorts of things. That's all just 100% to us.
What about the bedding? Where do you purchase the bedding or?
Nearly everything is donated. So I haven't had to buy bedding in a long time. What I buy is pillows.
Okay.
So you don't think about how much space a pillow takes up. Pillows aren't expensive. You can get them really cheap at Walmart. But a lot of times, if you see a guy running down the road in an SUV and there's pillows filling the back of it, that's me. And so we just have to buy them. Shipping is hard because pillows are just so bulky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I'm running into Walmart, always wear something with the SHP on it so you don't look mm-hmm. like a crazy guy mm-hmm. buying all the pillows. But I'll take 2 shopping carts, I'll fill them up, and then I'll make a few runs like that. So.
Yeah. Anybody ever ask you while you're at Walmart, hey,
oh, yeah.
what are you doing with all those pillows?
You have a hotel? What are you doing? A sleepover? Yeah. So this is why. So, yeah. But it's, and the Walmart people know me, I know, but it's a great time.
If someone wanted to ship pillows, say someone, an organization made pillows, for instance, how would they ship them to you?
They can send them right to my office because our warehouse is not a manned warehouse.
Okay.
So... I'm at 318 North Main Street in Conroe.
Okay.
77301, right across from the courthouse, and we will gladly receive anything there. We have an Amazon wish list, which does not include pillows because of price, but the Amazon wish list ships right to us as well. So
we'll be sure to get all of that information to share it with our viewers so they know how they can help.
Thank y'all.
Is there anything we haven't gone over that we should that people might need to know about sleeping heavily pills?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think the main thing is we always need volunteers. You know, it does fill up sometimes. You don't need any experience to do it. You don't need any tools to do it. You know, you can just come out. We train every build how to do that. Delivery, the same thing. Delivery, you're going to go out with someone experienced to do it, so you don't feel like you need experience or anything like that. And a lot of people say, well, I can't operate a power tool. Well, I guarantee you, you can do it.
Yeah.
And if you can carry a headboard or a pillow, then it's useful to you to go out there. I would say just come see it. And then our biggest need is probably repeat volunteers. We have a core group of people who can train other people, but if you'd like to be a part of that, that's where we need help so that it's a little easier on us.
So what does the day of a volunteer look like when they come to you?
Yeah, so a build day, we'll start at 8, we'll do our safety briefing, we'll assign everybody out. We have water, donuts, you know, everything you need to get you through 4 hours of carbohydrates, all that stuff. And then
just stay in a sugar high with donuts all the way.
Pretty much. I don't care what happens.
And then go home, crash at noon, you know, get your nap.
That's it. But they, you know, they're going to work that 4 hours at a certain station, and we may move you around. But you're either going to work power tool, you're going to sand, you're going to stain, you're going to do all those sorts of things. But all the equipment we've got, you don't have to do anything. No open-toed shoes because you're carrying lumber. Nobody wants a broken toe or to mess up your pedicure. And so
I would hate to do that.
I know. Yeah, we've talked about it many times. But no, and then you're going to go to 12, and if you can help us clean up, that's great. Yeah. But it's really pretty simple for that. Setup is where we lacked volunteers, like I said. But I know it's hard to get up early on Saturday, so... But that's the big thing. And on delivery day, you're generally done by 12. You're going to go all over, but you're going to have a good time.
So do you normally have the same group to help you through the whole entire process, or is it just kind of...
Build day, most of the volunteers are new volunteers every time.
Okay.
Because it's just schedules and everything else. But you probably have at least 2/3 of those people have never been out there before. Okay. And so you're learning every time. Delivery day, people will come back. Delivery day is the magic. So, you know, once you see a child get a bed, well, there you go. You're going to come back for that.
Wow. Well, that was an amazing story that you've told us about how Sleep in Heavenly Peace just takes care of the community.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else that you'd like to touch on?
You know, I'd like to remind everybody, I mentioned a couple other chapters. We are nationwide. Right. We are in Canada now. We're in everywhere. But there's over 358 chapters. So even if you're not here locally, you can go to our website and find your local chapter and help out. And I will say that not every chapter gets the volunteer crowd that we get. A lot of them hurt for volunteers. And so if you're somewhere else and you would like to help out, they could certainly need it. We just want to serve more kids. So
I mean, mention that website one more time.
Yes.
Yeah, shpbeds.org.
Okay.
shpbeds.org.
It's all right there.
Well, Mike, thank you for coming on today and sharing what you guys do in the community. It really is a need. A lot of us did not realize that it is a need. Let's take action today. Share this episode with someone who you may believe that needs a bed. And remember, no kids should sleep on the floor in our town or anyone else's town. Thank you for tuning in to The Power of Us. And we look forward to our next episode.